yielded vessels, Father. We're here on purpose. We're here specifically because we have a relationship with you and we want it to grow. We want it to be nourished. And so this morning I pray, Lord, let your word be a nourishment unto the people that hear this message, whether they're in this room or online. Lord, let them just grab onto it and let it quicken, make something alive inside, Lord, that helps them to grow in their faith, to grow in an understanding of you, to grow in character, in godly character, to grow in godly wisdom, to grow in that just every area of their life that is desperately needing that touch from you. Let that be this morning, Lord, that your word speaks clearly, speaks openly, speaks guidance into our life, Lord, in a way that will help us to flourish as we step out these doors today, Lord, and to go beyond just today, but into this week and into the rest of our life, Lord, with a renewed vigor in you, Father, that we're trusting in you. We have a zeal and an understanding, and we're putting it together and living it out as a real life experience. Lord, we're trusting you for it. We're praying you for it. We're thanking you for it. In Jesus' name we say, amen. Amen. So this morning I want to share something. I titled it, The Word of the Lord, and you'll wonder why it's called that until we get to the end, right? The last little bit is really going to tie it all together. So if you can hang in there, drink some coffee, bump your neighbor, do what you got to do to hang in until we get to the end, because it's going to come all together, I believe. But I want to share something with you that I believe is going to help you live the life that God has called you to live. You know, God intends, if you don't know that, that's a huge part of Christianity, and the life that we live is constantly developing and living into this life that God has created for us. Not that, you know, God's going to dictate whether you like chocolate ice cream or vanilla ice cream, okay? God's not going to get into that. You have personality, you have character, you have your own self. But there is a lifestyle. There is a, you know, walking with integrity, living your life as a child of God, a light in the kingdom, a light in a dark world. That is our constant endeavor as a Christian. Okay, so I'm hoping that this will help you to get there. It's a topic I've taught on it numerous times over the years because it's so vital in our walk with Jesus. I believe it's something that we need to remind ourselves of often so that we don't revert back to a mindset, okay, that would hinder our life or hinder the lives of the people around us. Because how many know your life affects people, right? It's not just you. We like to be an island, but it's not true. We affect people, okay? So let me talk about this. It has to do with what comes out of your mouth, okay? What comes out of your mouth. So many Christians today, I find, are continuing to speak to their own demise. Okay, they're speaking negative over themselves. Okay, they're speaking detrimental things over their situations. Okay, or over the people that are around them, their coworkers, their family, you know, the cashier that you see twice a week or whatever it is, and they're speaking negative over these people and not helping the situation. James, the brother of our Lord, how's that? He taught us extensively about bridling our tongue, okay, or controlling our tongue. Because if you can keep from sinning with your mouth, he says you can keep your whole body from straying from God's ways. Okay, so think about that. Jesus taught on it too. Other guys did too. We're going to read that. But James was pretty profound in saying you got to bridle your tongue. Because you can bridle your tongue and keep yourself from God's ways in other areas of your life. He says, and I'm paraphrasing, but he says, you're using the same mouth that you praise and worship God with to curse yourself and fellow man. Okay? And then he says this. This is James chapter 3 in verse 10. He says, you're using the same mouth to glorify God and to praise God, and then you're cursing men. And then in verse 10, he says, out of the same mouth proceedeth blessing and cursing. My brethren, these things ought not so to be. Okay, just point blank saying, don't try to do better. He doesn't say that. Okay, James is pretty straightforward anyway. But he doesn't say, just try to, you know, do a little better. He says, brethren, these things ought not so to be. praising God, worshiping God, we just did it, right? And then cursing men who are made after the similitude of God. Okay, these things ought not so to be. Okay, even as the Apostle Paul wrote, and give you another example, but he wrote to Christians, he said also to be sure not that no corrupt communication proceeds forth out of your mouth, but that which is good to the use of edifying. Okay, in other words, don't let corrupt, mean, despiteful, hurtful, damaging words come out of your mouth, but let the stuff that is encouraging and edifying and builds other people up be what comes out of your mouth. Okay, he goes on to say, the Apostle Paul did, that we should not let any bitterness or wrath or evil speaking come from your lips, because it grieves the Holy Spirit. I don't want to grieve the Holy Spirit. That seems to me, if we're living this life that's constantly becoming more Christ-like, living out His image, I think grieving the Holy Spirit would be the opposite of that, right? It's like, that means I'm going the wrong direction. You ever do something? Am I speaking to Christians here? Okay, you ever do something that is wrong, and you know that it's wrong, and you get that gut feeling? Okay, you get this, like, I don't know what you guys call it. Sometimes it's like a burning in my chest. You know, it's like, you know, it's just ripping you apart because you know you shouldn't be doing whatever you're doing. To me, that means we are, at that moment, grieving the Holy Spirit. I think that's what he kind of feels like. Oh, brother, don't do that. Sister, don't. Oh, no. And it's grieving the Holy Spirit of God. You know, your own mouth can be used to bring such favor, okay, such blessing and positive life change into your experience, if you will simply learn to control your tongue and use it for your benefit. Okay, James didn't say that, you know, my brethren, these things ought not so to be. He said that, but he didn't say you shouldn't be praising God, right? That's the good side. Okay, he didn't say you shouldn't be edifying, building up. They're saying don't let corrupt communication, evil speaking, wrathful stuff, don't let that stuff come out. But the other side of it is we can use our tongue for great things. Your mouth is handed by God to be used for blessing and not for cursing. Okay, look at James 1:26. Another one from James. James 1:26, he says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. It's empty. Okay, with your own mouth, you can even deceive or mislead yourself. Okay, now think about it. It's because you tend to believe what you hear yourself say about yourself. Right? You tend to believe that. We grab on to whatever it is that we're speaking about ourselves. You may be thinking something about yourself. You might be thinking about somebody else. But as soon as it comes out of your mouth, now you not only said it, but you heard yourself say it. Okay, you heard it too. Okay, it's like a double, right? What is that? Double indemnity? Something like that. Anyway, you heard it along with saying it, and it magnified what was going on in your mind. Now it's no longer just something rolling around between your ears. We have, what, thousands of thoughts an hour, right? I mean, it's just constant stuff going on. But as soon as we verbalize it and put it out there, now we're saying it ourselves. That means we have consciously let it, put it, come out the mouth, okay? But also we heard ourselves say it, okay? So it reinforces this deception in our heart. Saying things like, there's no way I'm going to get this project done in time. You know, the boss gave you a project and you're like, there is no way I'm going to get this done in time. Okay, you just reinforce that thought that we're having by saying it and hearing it. Or, you know, I'm never going to overcome this addiction. I've had it my whole life. I am never going to come over it. I'm never going to get over it. You are just reinforcing what deep down in your heart you really don't want. You don't want to be struggling with that for the rest of your life. You don't want to not get the project done for your boss. Okay, so why speak that over your situation or over your life? Our mouth and the words that come from it set a fire. Okay, James goes into detail about this fire stuff. Your mouth and the words that come from it put something in motion that is not easily stopped. Okay, if left undone, sometimes fires will just go and go and go, right? They may not, what you speak might not seem like much. It might not seem like it's anything too big. It's really that negative. I speak over the kids this stuff all the time. Doesn't seem to affect them. But what you are speaking over your situation, okay, as soon as you have said it, once it's spoken, a blaze has been set. You know, one of the largest fires in our country was called the Prestigo Fire. Okay, and it was in Wisconsin in the late 1800s. It's considered to this day to be the deadliest fire in U.S. history. Over 1 million acres burned and over 1,500 people died in that fire. Not a lot of people have heard of the Prestigo Fire because at the same time, the Chicago Fire happened, which burned down an entire city, and everybody remembers that one. You know, how many know that a massive fire, okay, that does that much destruction, that leaves this path of tragedy of that magnitude began with just a small fire? Okay, it began with whatever. Somebody threw a cigarette out their window driving through the mountains. Or it began with, I should have looked up the Chicago Fire. Somebody might even know how it started. But it started with a very tiny, tiny fire. James says this in chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. He says, even so, the tongue is a little member and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and sets on fire the course of nature and is set on fire of hell. You know, your tongue is not very big comparatively, right? But it can do a lot of damage in your life and the lives of the people around you. The good news is, you ready for good news? The good news is that it can also be used for a tremendous amount of good in your life. It can accomplish things that could not be done without you putting verbalization to it. Okay, with your mouth, you can also set some things in motion, okay, that will benefit, that will profit, that will bless people, that will bless your circumstances, they will bless yourself, and ultimately, it'll bless God. Okay, with our mouth, for example, the Bible tells us that confession is made unto salvation. Okay, nobody is saved by thinking to themselves, I should get saved. You know, we're thinking that thought. Okay, you know what Romans 10, 9 and 10 says? Part of the Romans road to salvation, many call it. Okay, it says that if thou shalt, and the emphasis is mine here, but if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shall believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. Okay, the mouth is powerful in that process. Jesus told us this. Look at how he goes about it. Mark 11:23, some of my favorite verses in the entire Bible is 11:23 and 24. Jesus said, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Okay, say that with me. He shall have whatsoever he saith. Jesus explains it this way on purpose, because our words have so much power. Okay, how many have ever thought to yourself, I wish this problem would just go away? Okay, or I wish my situation would improve. Okay, we all know that the Bible also tells us that with God, all things are possible. So could it be that you just need to speak to your problem and tell it to go away? Could it be that you just need to tell your problem to change? Okay, to commit to it with your own ears, your own mouth, and commit to it that this is changing in my life. Okay, and instead of just wishing things would get better, start speaking over your circumstances. Start speaking to your circumstances. Tell yourself, things are improving in my life. Things are getting better in my life. Okay, or I will not be anxious about the unknowns today. Now, you're going into something, you don't know what's going to be, and you're anxious. I will not be anxious about the unknowns today. Fear will not dominate my thoughts this week. Tell yourself that. Remind yourself of what it is that you would rather see. You know, rather than speaking the problem or speaking what you don't want to see, you need to speak what outcome you truly do want to see happen. Okay, what would you love to see? Marge and I had a conversation this morning at breakfast, and it was just, you know, it was right there where we could say something derogatory. We could say, and Margie comes out and pipes out this positive thing, and well, we'll just believe, and she pipes out this great outcome, and I'm like, that's it. And I hadn't even told her what I was teaching on, and I thought, that's perfect. Because here it is. We had the opportunity to speak demise, speak negative, speak death over something, and she chose to speak life over it instead. And I thought, man, that's the way it's supposed to work. You speak the outcome that you desire, not what you don't want to see happen. Tell yourself, I will find the person God has for me to marry. You know, if you're single. The rest of you can't say that one anymore. You're done. Okay. Tell yourself, I am getting out of this debt. You know, we tend to blame ourselves. Well, I got myself into such debt, I'm never going to get out. No, you got yourself into so much debt, but you are going to get out. Tell yourself that. Remind yourself, it's going to happen. I will find one job that pays all my bills. Tired of working 10 jobs, whatever. Tell yourself what you want to see. Start speaking that into your life. Now, some would say, and I might catch some flack for it, but they'd say, well, that's just the power of positive thinking. You're just going along with all the worldly ways and all that psychological boo-hoo. Okay? I'll tell you what I'm speaking. Okay? It's not some formula. Okay, it's not some power of positive thinking that's going on. This is what the Word of God is saying to you when He says, you can have whatsoever you say. Okay, if you don't believe that, if you don't have faith for that, that's on you. I have faith for that, and I see it over and over and over again in my life. I will speak what I want to see, not what I don't. Okay, start speaking that life, speaking encouraging stuff. You can have whatsoever you say. That scripture is what He said. That's God. Not going to change His mind on it. You know, I was working on my computer the other day. In fact, I was typing this very message, okay, on my computer, and I'm typing along. I've been working on it for quite a while and doing research, and I go back and add some more in, and I'm just typing along. I'm right in the middle of a sentence, and all of a sudden, bloop, my screen goes black. The computer shuts off. And I'll tell you, my first thoughts right then were, what a piece of junk. I just lost probably an hour's worth of stuff. I'm never going to see that. Oh, I got to start all over. That's the thoughts, right? But I did not let those thoughts come out of my mouth in words. In fact, I didn't say anything. It just went off, and I just, you know, catatonic state for a minute. And I thought about it, and I thought, okay, based on what I'm writing, I probably shouldn't speak a bunch of negative stuff here, right? So I didn't. And I just hit the power button. I waited a little bit, hit the power button, and it came back on, and I searched for my document. I found it, and the only thing that was missing was the very last sentence I was typing, which I was able to put back in. Okay? That's one of those things where I could have spoken, I'll bet it's gone forever, and then I'd pull and search and search and search and can't find it. Okay? Something could have happened. Okay? There are times when silence, okay, not saying anything at all is extremely powerful. Okay, Jesus demonstrated that for us when there was a time when the high priest was railing on Him, all these accusations, and the Bible tells us that Jesus literally, it says, answered nothing. Okay, and I always ponder on things when I see something that just, you know, Jesus was, He was here to speak and teach and do all that stuff. And yet, here He's being questioned, all these negative stuff thrown at Him, and He just answered nothing. But then when that same high priest changed his tone a little bit and he questioned Jesus and he says, "Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?" And Jesus says, "I am." Okay? Jesus didn't respond to the false accusations. But when the man said something that was true, Jesus responded with his own mouth and confirmed it, that yes, I am. Okay? That's the way it should work in our life, that we're using our words to confirm the truth, to confirm the positive. I'm not saying we can never say anything that might be considered derogatory. There's speak truth, right? We do it in love. Okay? But we need to not be just cutting down people for the sake of cutting them down. Okay, speaking stuff that is negative for the sake of wanting to be the know-it-all on a situation. You don't have to respond to the false, but respond to the true and confirm it like Jesus did. Look at how Jesus learned how to do this. It's in John chapter 12, starting in verse 49. John 12, 49 and 50. Jesus speaking, if you're reading in your hard copy, it's probably in red. Jesus says, "For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, he gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak." Okay, Jesus was saying, I don't speak on my own authority. The Father who sent me has commanded me what to say and how to say it. And I know that his commands lead to eternal life, so I say whatever the Father tells me to say. Okay, now I titled this The Word of the Lord for a reason. Because we see that example right here with Jesus that he heard from God what to say. Okay, what did God say when Moses asked him, "Whom should I say has sent me?" I am, right? Okay. Jesus had heard his father had told Moses that. So then when it came time for Jesus to answer the question, he says the same thing. I am. Okay. I am. Okay. The most powerful thing that you can speak over your situation, over your life, over your workplace, over your home, over your car, over your pets, over your children, over fill in the blank, right? The most powerful thing that you can speak over all these things is to speak the words that God has spoken, okay, speaking scripture over it, or to speak what God is speaking to you right now, okay? Because how many know in prayer time, it's not just a one-sided thing, okay? Prayer is not just prayer time, it's prayer life, right? But as we're praying, it's a constant communication. I'm speaking unto God and I'm hearing from God. Okay, so as I hear, then I know what to speak. I wanted to go through a passage in the Bible. It's kind of lengthy, but I think we're okay reading scripture in church. But it's in Ezekiel chapter 37, if you want to flip open to that. I'm going to read the first 14 verses of that chapter. And I want you to see something in it, because you're going to see how the Lord speaks, we hear, and then we speak. Okay, it's in Ezekiel 37. This, I'll just fill in a blank for you, but this entire message came off of one line in this, or the story of this, from last Sunday's worship service when we're worshiping God, and one of the lines that we were singing had to do with dry bones coming back to life. And I thought, you know, there's a powerful story in that. I'm going to go reread that. So I reread this, and now I begin to see, okay, yes, this is what God is saying. Watch what happens in this passage. Ezekiel talking here in verse 1, he says, "The hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley, which was full of bones. And he caused me to pass by them round about. And behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest." Okay, I'm going to stop right there just for a second. If God ever asks you a question, it's rhetorical. Just remember that, right? Okay, that's what Ezekiel was gathering here, that God had asked him a question. Lord, thou knowest. You know the answer to that. Okay, God does know, but he will ask you questions to see if you know. Verse 4, he says, again he said unto me, prophesy unto these bones. That means speak with your mouth, put verbalization to it. Prophesy unto these bones and say unto them, O ye dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord God unto these bones, behold, I will cause breath to enter into you, and you shall live. And I will lay sinews upon you. That's part of the muscle, tissue, tendon stuff. He says, and I will lay sinews upon you and will bring up flesh upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And ye shall know that I am the Lord. Verse 7, so I prophesied as I was commanded. And as I prophesied, there was a noise, and behold, a shaking, and the bones came together, bone to his bone. And when I beheld, lo, the sinews and the flesh came upon them, and the skin covered them above. But there was no breath in them. Then said he unto me, prophesy unto the wind. Prophesy, son of man, and say to the wind, thus saith the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain, that they may live. So I prophesied as he commanded me, and the breath came into them, and they lived and stood upon their feet, an exceeding great army. Then he said unto me, son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say, our bones are dried, our hope is lost. See what they were saying? They were speaking the wrong. We are cut off for our parts. Therefore prophesy and say unto them, thus saith the Lord God, behold, O my people, I will open your graves and cause you to come up out of your graves and bring you into the land of Israel. And you shall know that I am the Lord when I have opened your graves, O my people, and brought you up out of your graves. And you shall put my spirit in you, and you shall live. And I shall place you in your own land. Then shall ye know that I, the Lord, have spoken it and performed it, saith the Lord. So you can see it over and over again in that passage. God spoke to Ezekiel and told him what to say. Ezekiel spoke what God told him to say, and it came to pass exactly as God wanted it to. Do you see how your voice can be used as a child of God, a man of what God, a woman of God? And we're all in that category. God can use your voice to bring his will to pass. That God can use your voice to speak what needs to be said. If we'll hear what he says, speak what he says, and then watch what he says come to pass. Okay, your words have power. So use them to your advantage. Okay, read your Bible. Talk to the Lord and find out what he would have you to speak over your situation. Find out what he wants you to speak over this circumstance that's come up in your life, or what he wants you to speak over your health or your relationships or your finances or every other area of your life. What does God want you to speak over that he wants to come to pass? You know, when the devil is telling you that you're never going to succeed in life, you tell him, I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. That's what God has already spoken to you. Okay, or you have circumstances that cause you to doubt whether a family member could ever come to Jesus. Their life, they just took a step in the wrong direction. There is no way. Rather than saying that, say, my God is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. That is the word of the Lord. Okay, don't speak what the enemy is trying to lay in there to get you to think in negative, to grab onto that and begin to speak it out. Hear what your Father is saying. Hear what God is saying. Begin to hear that God is saying, I choose for all to come unto Jesus. Okay, pray that God will send laborers into their path. Okay, that's what Jesus told the disciples when they're like, why do we do this? And he said, pray ye the Lord that he will send laborers into their path. Okay, because the field is ripe for harvest. Somebody needs to go and harvest that. Somebody is in your loved one's life. Somebody is in your loved one's life. Pray that God will raise them up to speak and to say what needs to be said to help them come to Jesus. You know that what you speak out of your mouth is going to set something in motion. It's going to put something out there. It's going to light a fire that can do great things. It can go far. Okay, it can create an abundance. But what comes out of your mouth can also create a massive destruction. Okay, so use your mouth wisely. Speak what God tells you to speak. Speak the word of the Lord over your situation. Amen. Father, we are praising you this morning. God, we are lifting up our hearts. We're lifting our minds and our voice to you. Father, we praise you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for what you've done. Thank you for what you're doing right now in our lives, Father, that right here and now that we are receiving an engrafted word, we're letting it penetrate our hearts and to take us deeper into a relationship with you. Father, help us to be a tool for you, to be used by you, to minister, to say, to speak, to help your will come to pass in our life and the lives of the people around us. God, we're giving you the glory for it. We're praising you. We desire to see the will of the Lord. We desire that people will come to know that it was you, the Lord, that has spoken it, that you began it. You got it in motion. You got it to come to pass by using us. Lord, we yield ourselves as vessels to you to let you live and breathe, to have your way, to flow right through us. The life that we now live, we live by faith in the Son of God who loved us and gave our life for us. Father, we trust you this morning. We pray, use us as we leave this building today, Father, even in this building. Let us use our words for comfort, for love, for edification, for building up, Father, for guiding and directing in the direction that you would have us to go, Lord. We choose to listen carefully, to hear what you say, to speak it out, and to see your will come to pass. Lord, we trust you, we believe you, and thank you. In Jesus' name, we agree by saying, amen. Amen and amen.